Morning, CCCVA. Please turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. We'll be reading from verses 1 through 18. So 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 18. So as you're turning, so I'll kind of introduce this passage. So in this passage, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 18, God is making a promise. Or kind of a more technical term, a covenant. So a biblical covenant in the Bible is an ironclad promise. Ironclad promise, made in blood. Meaning that if someone broke this promise, why is it made in blood? If someone broke this promise, blood will have to be paid. Blood will have to be paid. So as we read this passage together, will you guys take note? What did God covenant or promise in blood to do for David? What blessings did God covenant or promise in blood to do for David? And what kind of a God is this that will promise things like this? And what is the greatest promise that God has given to David? Okay, hear the word of the Lord. Now when the king, that's David, lived in his house and the Lord has given him rest from all the surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See, now I dwell in a house of cedar." So that means a rich house, really well, luxurious house, cedar, so luxurious house. "But the ark of God dwells in a tent." The ark of God dwells in the tent. And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house of dwelling? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving around in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak with a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I command you to shepherd my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture for following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all of your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people, and I will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares that to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down your fathers, I will raise up for your raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men, but my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." In accordance with all these words, and in accordance with all the vision, Nathan spoke to David. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay. Let's pray. Father God, would you open our hearts this morning? Father, we desire the blessings that you give. Make our hearts sensitive to your spirit. Would you help us to find rest and nourishment from your word this morning? We pray this in your son's name. Amen. Well, CCCVA, it's an honor to be able to worship and bring you guys God's word this morning. Before we begin, I want to wish you a very, very happy New Year's. Very happy New Year's. Today, this is a very special Sunday. I don't think I've ever experienced a Sunday like today. This Sunday is also the first day of the year, and it's natural for us as we kind of look forward for as we begin the new year. Kind of natural for us to kind of think back, you know, what happened this past year, kind of to reflect and to summarize what happened this past year, and kind of to start making resolutions and plans, and kind of to start hoping for different things in this new year. So that's normal for us. Thinking back to me and my family, so literally this day, 1 year ago, and January 1st, 2022, our family, so my wife and our kids right behind us, literally my family, we were looking forward on that day of moving into our new house, So our family were missionaries, so we serve in China, and we had to come back in 2020, so that's almost 2.5 years ago. We had to come back due to the pandemic, And then in those, since 2020 up till January 1st of last year, kind of we've been moving around house to house. So in about a year and a half, we moved three different houses. It may not seem like a big deal for you guys as college students moving around, but for we have 3 young kids, it was a very big deal. It was not fun. And then in last January, we were living in this kind of cramped, apartment. It was in a rent-controlled area in Chantilly, and so it's not the best of neighborhoods. And so my kids were constantly kind of stepping in, and dog food, like in the neighborhood. And I still remember like kind of all the past year kind of coming into our apartment, and I'm like, what is that smell? And I go look at the, it's dog food again. So anyways, you guys can understand for us in our family, when my mom offered, so the lease on one of her rental houses kind of came up, and she offered for us to stay in this house in Gainesville. You guys can understand how excited we were, right? It's a spacious house. We went and checked it out, and we met some of our neighbors. There's kind of kids, our children's age, and it's our own yard, so no poop, no dog poop. And then we thought in 2020, January 1st, like one year ago, we thought living in this house will change everything. This house is going to change everything. And the start of 2020 for us was centered on kind of anticipation of moving into this house. Now, you guys are probably expecting the story to turn, and it turned. my mom's rental house had a lot of issues. It turned out the carpets were the original carpets from like 20 years ago, and the previous tenant had a dog, and he let the dog go to the bathroom on these carpets, and so we had to change them. What happened was I watched a few YouTube videos, and I thought, I could do this. I could pull out the carpets myself and, install vinyl flooring. And that was the beginning of our adventure. Like, what I thought was just going to take 1 week installing new vinyl flooring actually took 4 weeks. I won't go through the details, but basically, my dad sprained his back pulling out the carpets with me. I had a huge fight with him because of that. 3 days later, while installing the vinyl flooring, I cut my hand open on a... It was nappy. You could see it if you want. There was nerve damage from the cut. So there's nerve damage from the repetitive motions of, installing the flooring. I won't go into more and more details, but, 4 weeks later, emergency room fees, I still feel like I have PTSD. Whenever I see, vinyl flooring, my heart starts racing. So I don't think I've fully recovered. All of that to say is, ultimately, I'm not complaining. I'm really thankful to live in this new house. We met friends. My kids liked the house. It was a good school. Everything we thought of was true. But, put it this way. We've all had experiences like this, have we not? Something that we, maybe a goal, where we kind of center our new year on achieving this goal. And when we do get it, it turned out not as good as we hoped. Or it turned out, in my case with this house, kind of more trouble, more problems, more stress than we hoped, right? And so that it's so easy for us as limited humans, it's so easy for us to fixate, as we look forward to this new year, fixate our things on goals, we look as we kind of start the new year, center our expectations, center our hope, fixate on hope in things like goals, things, or experiences. Getting into college. Moving into a new house, promotion, or things like goals, or things like, if I get this new car, if I can get this new computer, or experiences like, taking that vacation that we've been planning for 2 years. But goals, things, or experiences, living in a fallen world, those things are limited. They always disappoint. They're always not as good as what we hoped, or when we do get them, they lead to new troubles and new headaches. And today, from 2 Samuel chapter 7, I want to propose this. And as we begin 2023, I want you guys to hope in something different this morning, well, this year. Instead of hoping in achieving goals, things, or experiences, I want you to hope in people. Specifically, I want you to hope in one person. 2 Samuel chapter 7 teaches us that we can center our hope and expectation on something far more lasting, something far more foundational for our lives. And that is, one, to hope in a God who blesses. This is a loving, kind God. His character is He blesses us. To hope in this God. Because this is a God that blesses and He loves me. 2023 will be good because He is good. Two, to hope in this good God's blessings. I don't know what it may be this coming year, but to hope in this God's good blessings. Whatever will happen this year, to hope in this God's blessings. Number two. And number three, specifically, hope in the Son. This God's greatest blessing. Hope in the Son. So I repeat, hope in the God who blesses, hope in this God's blessing, and center our hope on this God's greatest blessings, which is the blessing of His Son. Which is the blessing of His Son. So let's begin. Let's look at 2 Samuel 7. Look with me at verses 1 through 3. 1 through 3. Now when the king lived in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the Lord dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go and do what is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. "Go, tell my servant, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up my people from Israel, my people of Israel from Egypt to this day." So, David, all the way, so some background, David all the way in 1 Samuel 1, not 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel 1, David was anointed king. And now finally, after decades and decades of hard fighting, you know, fighting against Saul, fighting against the Philistines, finally David's kingdom, God's promise to David that you will become king, has finally have come to life. David's kingdom is secure. Secure from internal political enemies, and borders are secure. Secure from the Philistines. The capital city is built. Everything that God has promised to do has, you know, come to pass. And David thought in verses 1 to 4, you know, God has been good to me. God has been so, so good to me. I should do something for God. I should do God a favor almost. Do something for God. Look, I'm in a royal house, a palace of cedar. Cedar is very expensive back then, so it means luxurious house. And here's the ark of God. Here's the ark of God. So the ark of, in the Old Testament, whenever you hear the ark of God, it's actually God's throne, you know, God's throne chair. God's throne chair. So the throne of God, the God of the universe, that his one and only earthly throne is in a shabby little tent. Shabby little tent tabernacle. David thought, this is not right. I should change that. This is not right. I should change that. And, you know, David is a man after God's own heart. Desiring to honor the Lord with building a temple is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. But God corrected David. This is very important. God corrected David. Like, God goes on to say, like, who I am. God goes on to who I am. God's character. God goes on to remind David of his character. That God, Yahweh, the God of the universe, he is not like the other gods. He is not like the pagan gods. The pagan gods of that time demand sacrifices and demand temples to be built for them. Like, if you want my help, you know, Ra, the god of Manuel, Ra, the god of, you know, the sun god of Egypt, if you want my help, then you give me something temporal. You build me a temple, you offer me sacrifices, you offer me a sacrifice for your children, etc. And then I'll give you a supernatural blessing. You know, like a pre-quo, if you will. You do this for me, and I, maybe, if I feel like it, this is what an idol will say, I, maybe, if I feel like it, can do something for you. If you want the thing that only I can give you, you do this for me, and maybe I'll give you a little something in return. This is what idols will say. And by the way, this is not just like the sun gods or whatever pagan idols of that time. If we make an idol, a false god, out of our career, out of our looks, out of being skinny, or out of getting someone a promotion, if we make those things God, they do the same thing. They'll do the same thing. You know, like the God of career, God of work, saying, like, you really want, you know, all the faith and the affirmation of your parents, et cetera, et cetera, that I, the God of career, can give you? All right. You want it? Like, all right, you obey me, you sacrifice to me, give me your marriage. Give me your health. Give me the time with your kids. And maybe if I feel like it, if I'm so inclined, I might give you a little something. God is telling David here, this is true for idols. Pretty po-po. You give me something, now I might give you a little something in return. This is true for idols, but this is not true of the one true God, of God of Israel, of God Yahweh. The God of Israel, if you look up verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, the God of Israel does not need, you know, expensive temple like the Babylonian gods or the Egyptian gods or the Assyrian gods. He is fine to live in a tent as long as he gets to be near his people. God wants to make it clear to David, and through David to us today, no, you are not the one that does things for me, that serves me, that helps me. I, Yahweh, am the one that blesses you. I, Yahweh, am the one that blesses you. I am the one that has helped you, and I am the one that will continue to help you today, David. And God is saying to David, God, he is a God full of loving kindness that desires to be close to his people and desires to bless his people. This is God's character. This is who God is. This is what is most true of God. And God cannot but help but be true to himself. God cannot help but to bless those that he loves and favors. So imagine, if you will, like right now, like imagine like God peering, like, well, today's a clear sky, so because this illustration doesn't work as well. But imagine God, you know, peering down on us through the clouds, looking through the clouds and seeing us. You know, looking through the clouds and looking at, you know, Caleb or Stephanie or whatever. And God thinking, how can I give Stephanie, give Caleb, give you the deepest, the most eternal, the greatest blessing possible? Imagine this God looking down from the clouds and not just thinking this, how can I bless you? Imagine this God feeling, his heart overflowing with delight as he gives us the most eternal, the greatest, most eternal, most deepest blessing possible. His heart overflowing with delight. This is who our God is. And so, friends, as we begin 2023, will you not put your hope in, you know, resolutions, achieving certain goals and things, or, you know, new experiences? But will you hope in people? Specifically, hope in a person. Hope in the God that is good, that is generous, that is kind and strong. He is a God who loves. He is a God who, his heart overflows with delight as he gives us blessings. And this year, in 2023, because he's promised to be good to me and to you, my 2023 will be good. Now, naturally, you guys should be thinking, if you're following along, how is this God is good? He's loving and kind and generous. What are the exact blessings that he can help us with in 2023? What are the blessings that he can help us with? And this is what I want to talk about in too. Hope in God's blessings. What exactly are the blessings that we can look forward to in 2023? God only gives us the greatest, the deepest, the most eternal blessings possible. What blessings does God give? The greatest, the deepest, and most eternal blessings possible. Not a life free from suffering or hardship. But true blessing. Eternal blessing. Spiritual blessing. That make all the suffering, all the hardships of this life worth it. So friends, if a pastor or a YouTube guru kind of said to you, your 2023 will be filled with riches, success, comfort, and ease, and you only have to work 4 hours a week, as long as you listen to my podcast and subscribe to my channels and buy my workbooks and go attend my conferences and do what I say, your 2023 will be filled with success, riches, comfort, ease, and, you know, et cetera. Friends, be careful. Be very careful. YouTube channels and different podcasts, they can have very helpful advice, you know, like helpful advice. I learned to tie Thai from a YouTube channel. They have helpful advice. But friends, success, wealth, comfort is usually not our lot in this life. Success, wealth, comfort is usually not our lot in this life. And so friends, just maybe not as your particular pastor, but as a pastor, I have to tell you, unfortunately, in 2023, hardship, disease, depression may be awaiting you. Not must, but may be awaiting you. And unfortunately, this is our lot. This is our lot in a fallen world, along with those things, along with blessings that we don't deserve. That is our lot in a fallen world. That is the norm for life before Jesus comes again. But what gives us strength? What gives us strength to endure through suffering, depression, disease, etc.? What gives us strength to endure is the great blessings that God offers. And to people, kind of, if you imagine like a camera lens, to zoom in and focus on the blessings, the spiritual, eternal blessings of God, and kind of zooming in, focusing in, meditating, constantly meditating in our minds and our hearts, the blessings, the specific spiritual blessings of God, And just what this does is this allows us to zoom out, to put out of focus kind of the suffering, the hardships of this, and limitations of this life. This is what gives us joy. This is what gives us strength. This is what gives us victory to allow us to endure through suffering. And this is what 2 Samuel 7 teaches. Look with me in verse 9. I have been with you wherever you have went, wherever you went, and I've cut off all your enemies before you. I will make you a great name, like the name of the great ones of earth, and I will appoint a place for my people, and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall not afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appoint judges over my people, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you, I will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your father, I will raise up for you offspring after you. Offspring is one person. Actually, not offsprings. Offspring after you, one person, one kid. Who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. I will establish his kingdom. Now, starting in verse 9, God said to David, this is what I've done for you. And starting in verse 10, God says to David, this is what I will do. I will do for you. Now, these promises of God to David, these are what we refer to as the Davidic, or God's covenant with David. Davidic covenant or God's covenant with David. So a covenant is a promise sealed in blood. A promise sealed in blood. Look with me at verses 10 through 13. What exactly did God promise to David? To make his name great? So this is a reference back to Abraham. A place, a secure border for his people. Defeat of the enemies like the Philistines who are oppressing God's people. Finally, after hundreds of years in the promised land, justice and rest for his people so that they could be secure in the land. An heir that God will be with forever, that God will be a father to discipline and to teach, a temple built for God. And finally, a kingdom that will last forever. Friends, I want you to notice these things. This is very important. I want you to notice these things. The things that God gave to David, these are things that a good king would want, right? These are things that a good king, a responsible king, a king after God's own heart would want. David was not like some petty despot or some selfish king. David did not wish for more money, more wealth, more women, more concubines, death of his political enemies, etc., etc., etc. Those are things that a petty king, a king not after God's own heart, would want. Instead, what David wanted, and if you look down at verse 22 through 25, how David's heart kind of overflowed with gratitude. David is a king after God's own heart, and what he wanted was security for his people, God's people. A wise king to rule over God's people so that the people will be God's people forever. So, those are the blessings for a good king. A blessing for a good king. Because David was a good king, so he wanted the blessings that God gave. Now, this is how it applies to us. You know, today we are not kings. We're not kings. We don't have Philistine armies, you know, to defeat or worrying about heirs and someone to take over the kingdom, etc., etc. However, the principle to David is the same to us. God gave David the greatest possible blessings, for his role as king of God's people. And so too, for today, for us, God always gives us the greatest and most eternal blessings possible for our role as servants of God in the various stations of our life. So too, the principle is the same. God may not give us an heir or defeat our, you know, Philistine armies ahead of us, but God too always gives us the most eternal, the deepest, greatest blessing possible for our role as servants of God in the various stations of our life today. And friends, these blessings are centered around Jesus Christ and the work that he has done on the cross. And this is just a simple list of some of the blessings that we have through Jesus. So in Jesus, we are new creations. We're the beginning of the new society that Jesus will bring. We today are the beginning of the new society that Jesus will bring in his second coming. All of our sins, all the things that we look back on, I thought 3 years or 2 years ago, we look back and we cringe. Those sins are forgiven. We are loved. We are eternally loved. Not for what we have done, not for who we are, not for earned, but we are loved because we've been chosen. God has chosen us to be loved. We have eternal life. We are considered holy and righteous. We have the power to face life because we have Jesus' power working within us. we will live forever in paradise, in a new heaven, in a new earth. So friends, there are much, much more. Each of these blessings deserve a full sermon, but we can't get going back. But there is much, much more. David recognized God's blessings are great because he was a king after God's own heart. He desired the blessings that God gives. Unfortunately for us, that's not true for many of us. The problem with us today is not that God's blessings are not good enough. It's not that God's blessings are not good enough. The problem is that we do not desire the blessings that God gives. We do not desire the blessing that God gives. You could be honest with yourself. If I told you, like, you know, there is a, you could choose two things, two doors. Two gifts, maybe. Like, gift number one is a new Tesla. Maybe the, you know, Plaid S. Maybe Tesla. Or gift number two, you could be a son of God in paradise forever and ever. I guess you could be honest. Raise your hand. Who would be more excited about getting the Tesla? Who would be more excited about the Tesla? Right? If we're honest. Thank you for being honest. Right? So our desire is not that God's blessing are too small. It's that our desires oftentimes are too small, too foolish, too sinful. We desire small things. For someone in my age, we have kids, you know, three kids under the age of six. And oftentimes my greatest blessing is at 8 o'clock I could just be left alone for 12 minutes before 8 o'clock so I could watch some NFL highlights or something. We desire small things. Can you imagine centering 2023 around that? I could have 12 minutes to watch some highlights, NBA highlights or NFL highlights on YouTube. But oftentimes that's what we live for, right? We say. Well, we desire small things. We desire foolish things. Like I'm hoping in 2023 I could get back together with that ex, knowing that he or she is bad, but I want to get back together with that ex. Or, that Tesla, foolish thing, that Tesla might be fun to drive. It might be pretty fun at first, but I could guarantee you guys, you probably won't enjoy the monthly payments that comes along with a Tesla. Well, sometimes we even desire things that are, not only desire things that are small, not only desire things that are foolish, but our hearts often desire things that are sinful. Being drawn to, that hit or entertaining show like, Homelander. Want to watch that, we know there's pornographic content in it. Friends, desiring things that are small, desiring things that are foolish, desiring the things that are sinful. Friends, those are actually normal. There's nothing more human. There's nothing more normal than to desire those things. Desiring things that are small, that are sinful, that are foolish, that are sinful. What's unnatural, what's supernatural, is the desire, the blessings that God gives, the eternal blessings that God gives. And to desire the profound blessings that God gives, this requires a transformation of our desires. It's not that God's gifts are too small, too significant. There's something wrong with our desires. And it's only through accepting the gospel that our desires can be transformed. The God who gave David a heart after God's own heart can also today give us a new heart with new desires. Jesus, through his resurrection on the cross, gives us a new heart with new desires because through Jesus' death on the cross, we spiritually have died. And through Jesus' resurrection, because we've been dead, we need to be given new life. And this new life is Jesus' life, with along with his power and his desires. So, friends, in 2023, will you long for the transformation of your hearts? Hope for the fruit of transformation of your hearts. Hope for the blessing that God has already given you this year. Friends, in 2023, instead of hoping for new things, new experiences, new goals, friends, do you know that you are already rich? You are already wealthy through Jesus Christ. You already have every spiritual blessing. The question today is, will you desire it? Will you long to experience it more and more in 2023? And the greatest blessing that God gives to David and God gives to us today is not only that we are a son or a daughter of Christ, but rather the blessing of the Son. Look at me at verse 12. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I'll raise up for you an offspring. So offspring is a blessing, you are not plural. An offspring. After you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house in my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Here, there's a play on words. David desires to build a house. Build a house for God. God says, I will build you a house. You know, David wants to build a house for God, meaning a temple. But God says, I will build you a house, meaning a dynasty. God will raise up an heir after David. And it is this heir, not David, but it is this heir that will build the house of God, which is a temple in Jerusalem. And these promises, is fulfilled in the figure of Solomon. Solomon was the one who built the house, built the temple in Israel. Solomon was the one that, Solomon disobeyed God, and God disciplined Solomon, but God's love had never left Solomon. So these promises were fulfilled, partially fulfilled, rather, in the figure of Solomon. But looking at verse 16, the language starts getting funny after verse 16. And your house and your kingdom will be made sure forever before you. Your throne will be established forever. Now, this gets strange if you really think about it. Your house and your kingdom will be made sure forever. And God repeats this twice for emphasis. Your throne will be established forever. Now, no kingdom lasts forever, right? Romans, Persians, Babylonians, even America one day. No kingdom, all civilizations, all kingdoms will fail one day, will fall one day. And no kingdom lasts forever, and no houses last forever. Whether it's the House of Windsor in England, or even the House of Tang, the Tang Dynasty, one of the longest dynasties in China, all dynasties end one day, correct? Right? For a kingdom, for a dynasty to last forever, as D.A. Carson puts it, for a kingdom, for a dynasty to last forever, God is hinting here that there will be a offspring that will build a kingdom of God. God is hinting here that the kingdom that God will build for David through his offspring is no mere human kingdom or no mere human dynasty. The kingdom that God is promising is the new kingdom, the new country that David's true descendant, Jesus Christ, our king, is building. This is what I mean. In verses 14 through 16, God is making a covenant. So a covenant is a promise made in blood, meaning that if somebody broke this promise, broke this covenant or this agreement, blood will have to be paid. God's covenant to David is that David's heir will always rule, and that David's kingdom will last forever. This is God's promise, God's covenant. And this promise, this covenant, is one-sided. It's very unfair. Because if this promise is broken, it's God's blood that will be spilled. God is solely responsible for fulfilling it. So if God promised, made a covenant, which is a promise made in blood, if God promised that there will always be a descendant of David as king over God's people, and that this kingdom will never end, then God will keep that promise. This is why the Israelites kind of laughed at Jeremiah, when Jeremiah warned that through the Israelites' disobedience, the Babylonians will come and will kind of take them into captivity. The Israelites kind of laughed because, God promised, the Davidic king will always be our king, and the throne will always be here. And when the exile happened, when exiles did happen, the Israelites were shocked at first, but they went back to this promise. It's not because God was unfaithful. This promise was made in blood, so it must be fulfilled. It's not because God was weak or unfaithful or evil or whatever. It's because of us. It's because of our sins. It's because of our failures and the failures of the king. But God promised that David will always be king. David's son will always be king over God's people, and that there will always be a kingdom for David's descendants. And this promise became the center of the Israelites' hope years and years into the captivity and humiliation that was the exile in Babylon. Again, if God promised David's kingdom will last forever, then it will last forever. And what this means for the Israelites in exile was, this new son of David, he will come again. We just need to wait for him. And when he comes again, he will rebuild God's nation on earth. And this, throughout the prophetic books, was what the prophets taught during Israel's exile. Look, this was Isaiah, in Isaiah 61, so Christmas was about a week ago. Isaiah 61, the titles of this new Davidic king, the new servant of God that will come, Who is this person going to be? So these titles, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, these actually are all militaristic terms. These are, Wonderful Counselor is actually like a war counselor. War counselor. Mighty God is a militaristic term, that he is a God mighty, that he will defeat all the enemies of his people. Prince of Peace means that because this mighty God, this warrior God, has fought off the invaders and those oppressing his people, now there will be peace. Everlasting Father means Father of a nation, or rather you could think of it, Everlasting Father of an everlasting nation. These are the terms for the coming Son of David that will come, that will rebuild God's nation on earth. And in Daniel, it says this nation, that this coming David will build. And Daniel, the vision of the four kingdoms in Daniel 2, 24 to 48, you know, the statue made of four different materials, and the kingdom of God smashing these materials to pieces. What this means is that this kingdom that David's heir will build, this kingdom will defeat all the human empires of the earth. And this kingdom will be the one that lasts forever. And look at Ezekiel, Jeremiah, I won't go on, but on and on, the prophets are predicting this Davidic kingdom will come. This Davidic king will come, and he will build his kingdom. And look, listen to how Jesus was introduced in Luke 1, 23. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So Jesus is the promised offspring, the promised Davidic king that will come again, that will build his kingdom. Jesus is the descendant of Eve, the descendant that will crush the serpent's head. He is the true king of God's people. All of David's descendants, all of David's merely pointing to him. Jesus was the one that will come and reveal David's kingdom. He is the descendant of Abraham that will bring a blessing to the world. And he is the descendant of David, who God will be a father to, and he will be a son of. Jesus is the true king of God's people, who will rule forever, whose kingdom that he built will last forever. Not David, or not David's descendant. David merely points to him. It's kind of like a road sign or a marker, helping us understand who Jesus was. And today, he, this son, is the greatest blessing to us today. Now, friends, this is important, friends. The gospel is not merely, not just how we as sinful humans can have a relationship with God. Yeah. This is important. And this should be shocking for a lot of you. The gospel is not merely just how we as sinful humans can have a relationship with God. That is true. That is true. But that is merely a summary that, you know, people who study the Bible have summarized to help us understand what the gospel is. That was not the gospel that Jesus preached. The gospel of the coming kingdom that Jesus preached was this, that he himself is the Davidic king, the offspring of David. He is the offspring of kingdom, that he is going to establish God's nation or God's kingdom on earth. He has all, this Davidic king, this offspring of David, has all power and all authority, and he rules for the greatest benefit of his people. He will use his power for the greatest benefit of his people. And that is the good news of the gospel. So in Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explained, this is what the culture of this new nation, of this new kingdom that Jesus is building will be like. This is the deep and rich culture of this new kingdom. If you look at Matthew 8 through 9 and all the miracles of Jesus, what Matthew is trying to teach us is that this new kingdom that Jesus is building, through a story of the demoniac and healing the leprosy and raising a dead daughter and all that, in this new nation, in this new kingdom that Jesus is building, there will be no demons, no death, no disease, no hunger, no suffering, no uncleanliness. Only rest and peace. Why? Because this king has all authority. He has power over demons, over disease, over nature, even over death itself. And this, friends, this kingdom, this nation has already started at the cross and will one day fully be complete when Jesus comes again. And today, what makes this good news today is that today you can enter into this nation. You can enter into this new kingdom by turning from your sins and accepting Jesus as your new king, which means giving ownership of your life to him. You can enter into this kingdom. And friends, this sounds really esoteric, but friends, whether you know it or not, this is what we are all longing for. This is, in 2020, this is what we are all longing for. We all long for this king. We all long to be a part of this kingdom. So the January 6th riots in 2020, the storming of Capitol Hill, that was shocking to all of us as Americans, right? Whether we're on the political right or the political left, it was shocking. Yeah, friends, there was nothing more normal than what those rioters did. As shocking as it was, there was nothing more normal, nothing more human than what those rioters did. You see those rioters, they see all the problems. They have all these grievances about what this kingdom of America has become. And they long for a great leader to finally drain the swamp, build a wall, take down the deep state, and fix all the problems of this kingdom of America. And they long to be able to live in and under the rule of this good king and in this great kingdom that this king will build, this leader will build. You see, friends, what those rioters wanted, is nothing more human. Nothing more human, nothing more normal than that, right? And their hearts revolted when they thought and then believed that this good leader was denied his rightful place as leader of this country. In the election results, those rioters did not just lose an election, they lost the kingdom. In the election results, the rioters did not just lose an election, they lost a kingdom. Now, before we judge those rioters too harshly, so leader worship is not something that just happens in North Korea. God created us for leader worship. That is most natural for our hearts as humans. Because we are created to worship our one true leader, God and Jesus Christ. In January 6th, the desires of those rioters on January 6th, they were not wrong. It was merely misplaced. To disastrous consequences. The desires of the rioters on January 6th was not wrong. It was merely misplaced to disastrous consequences. And this is true of all the idolatry, not just, you know, leader worship. Their desires are not wrong. They're just disastrous misplaced. And so, friends, in 2023, instead of hoping in a political candidate that will end all the sufferings and grievances of this life, will you instead, in 2023, let the grievances, sufferings, and hardships of this life that we face daily, and if we're willing to listen, remind us that we are still in our exile, that our king and our kingdom has not fully come. But, one day, when Jesus comes, when his kingdom truly comes, true belonging, true rest, true joy, beyond what can we imagine in this life now, will finally be ours. Will you in 2023 let the death by a thousand paper cuts, that is the life and frustrations of work, marriage, and life on this earth, in 2023, not let it lead you to places of, you know, dark places of hatred and cynicism, you know, thinking like, oh, nothing ever good can happen, you know, in this school, at this company, in this job. I can't trust anyone again because, you know, I'll never give my heart. No, will the sufferings will not lead you to dark places of hatred and cynicism? Rather, would you let each cut, each frustration fuel our desire to be under the rightful king of this world and to live in his eternal kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so, friends, as we look forward to 2023, as we make our goals and our resolutions, well, this year, will you not merely hope in achieving goals and things and experiences, but hope in God, a God who longs to bless you. The blessing that this God gives is only the greatest and most eternal blessings possible. And when you, in 2023, when you desire those profound blessings that he gives freely. See, the problem is not that his blessings are too small, it's that our desires are too small. And it's only through the gospel that our desires can be changed. And finally, in 2023, will you hope for the return of our one true king? And would you let every suffering, every hardship in this life fuel, remind you that his kingdom is not here yet, and fuel your desire, I want to live in this kingdom, in this kingdom, under this king. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Father God, as we look forward to 2023, whatever may be for us, whether blessings we don't deserve or hardships that we can't explain, may you help us to trust in you. You are loved because you are loving and you are kind. 2023 will be good for us. Will you change our hearts so that we'll desire the blessings that you give? Father, we, no matter what we face, whether hardship, or to take cuts of life, let us fuel and remind us that we are not under the rightful king, and we are not in the kingdom that he is building. Help us long for Jesus Christ in his return in 2023. Praise his own name. Amen.